Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is August 12th, 2022. Friday. I'm trying to catch my breath here. It's like my fifth time trying to do this podcast. Really almost had it done. Got some phone calls. It's just... Got to calm down here for a second. Came in this morning, wanted to get this podcast done and have a little chat, and just seemed to have one more interruption after another interruption, and at one point I'm like, I'm just going to push through, but it was sounding weird. So anyway, good morning. Let's try for the last time. I have 45 minutes to do something for a half an hour. If we can make it happen, we'll do it. Yep, so yeah, it's like I said, it's Friday, August the 12th. Beautiful day, a little change here in the weather. Starting to feel, you know, a little cooling. The humidity's a little lower. A little more cloudy, a little breeze. You know, starting to feel like turning that corner, heading towards fall. Big fan of fall, love fall. I don't know, put so much into summer, have so many things that I think will make my life better, and they all fall during summer. So to see summer start to wrap up sort of brings a little sadness. But it is only August 12th. I mean, let's stop. I mean, the kids are still home. The kids are still out of school. They're not back in school. So, you know, but listen, man, I do love to put the drama on a thought. And even though we are just at the 12th of August, I'm already putting winter pants on, right? And, you know, it's just another great example of staying in the moment. I love, it's like when you open the gate and your fucking dog goes running out the door. That's how I am. Gate opens a little bit and poof, down the road I go, barking and hollering and creating all sorts of drama. And it's not necessary. It's not necessary. I end up back in the yard, closing the gate and realizing that staying in the moment is where I'm best. And, you know, and the reality is it's just halfway through. And so... But, you know, I can feel it. You know, one of my problems that I'm having lately is that I used to do a lot of running, and now for whatever reason, I just haven't, and I just don't have it and don't feel like it. But that's a good source of exercise. And so what I've been doing a lot of is biking. And the problem with biking is that as the summer ends and it cools down, it gets cold. And then you throw, you know, 15, 20 miles an hour on top of that, and it's freezing. And I'm like, well, I'm not riding the bike. So I start worrying about that. The other thing I've been stressed out about a little bit is that I'm just getting older. You know, I was watching something last night and they were talking about this, you know, this 50-year plan, right, to try to, I don't know, save the world. I don't know, the ocean is rising, whatever. And they say in 50 years it's going to really be noticeable in certain areas. And I'm like, yeah, 50 years. I'll be 103. I'll be dead. I'm gone. And so now I'm starting to think about that. You know, my time has come to start wrapping it up. But then again, the dog just ran out the fence, right? I'm running down the street barking and screaming. And, you know, I've always said if I could live to 85, so what am I, 23? So that's 32 more years. That's not bad. 32, but then I'm like, 32, that does not seem like many. But listen, I've been here at the beach probably 28 years. It seems like forever. I guess it's just quality. You know, one of the cool things is my dad's here, and he's going to be 84, I guess, and his quality of life is good. you know, it's different. My mom's obviously gone, but he's got his little buddies he hangs out with. And I was talking to him last night. He's like, "Yeah, I'm down at the club eating fish, reading, doing the crossword, listening to these morons talk bullshit." And but it's so funny because that's, you know, that's what old men do. They bitch about themselves. And so he's got a decent life. So I don't know. It's just been on my mind. It's a little, you know, it's a little victim-y, right? Poor me. Poor me. My buddy Matt used to always tell me, you know, victims never get better. And I didn't quite understand that because when I think victim, I think injury, right? And I think of healing. And I think, well, we obviously, victims get better. I mean, they heal, right? Because that's, you know, that's how I think of victims, as someone that's like fallen off a bike or somebody that's gotten in a car crash, you know, and they become a victim. And it's not really, you know, it's not a fair definition to me of what a victim is. You know, if someone comes up, sticks a gun in your face and steals all your money, you are a victim of crime. You are a victim of robbery. I don't, you know, his whole point was, listen, you got to become accountable. You've got to figure out the role that you play. You've got to find humility. Until you find humility, you're always going to be a victim. And when what humility allows us to do is figure out what part we played, you know, if any, right? If, you know, when I think about like the stories when I like getting punched, you know, at that house by that guy, different little injuries that have occurred in my life, you know, it's easy. I could have said I'm a victim of that. That guy was not very nice. He was a bully, right? He was aggressive. Punched me, had to go to the doctor. You know, I was a victim. Yeah. And I could, listen, that's a great, you know, that's a great little handbag to carry around, my little victim bag. And, you know, and I can carry it. And I meet people all the time that are still victims of situations that have happened, whether it was last week, last year, or 10 years ago, they're still a victim of it. Right? Some people, I mean, and I remember myself, I loved being, you know, when I broke my arm, you know, all the different little things, you know, we love being the victim. We love the attention. We love, you know, people caring, but you can't live like that all your life. And my buddy Matt was like, you know, people that are victims just don't get better. And I had to kind of figure that out. But now today I look at it and I say, right, they don't, you know, a buddy of mine just passed kind of out of the blue. It's really a shame because that makes like six people I know that have probably died in the last year or so. I'm not sure what he died of, but more than likely it was some sort of involvement in something or a byproduct of doing something. I don't think it was natural causes. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. He's gone. Rest in peace, brother. But he reminded me of a guy. He reminded me a lot of myself, you know, and I shared this over and over about my the changes that I've gone through. But I remember going to this new meeting at one point and hearing about this guy who was, I think, getting out or was the brother. I forget. You know, it's a tight-knit community, and I'm not here to cast any light on anybody. But I just remember this guy was getting out of jail. And another girl, I think, that was there had been dating him. And you know, you don't pay it. You don't, it's none of my business, but you always got your ear to the grindstone, right? You're always listening, right? So I heard the rumblings of this guy getting out, and he got out, and yeah, he was a nice guy. I remember him, terrific guy, you know, and it reminded me of myself when I got out of jail. And, but the problem with me was, is that, you know, I was also selling drugs, right? I was in the drug game, and it was my turn to do my time because that's how the drug game is. You show up, right? Because you want to do something, you want to party, right? And I remember meeting my buddy Rob, and my buddy Rob was like, yeah, I can get us something, and off he went. And you do that for a while, and then you start to, you know, either you want to meet their connection or their connection wants to meet you, because if you got money, you know, they're like, well, let's get rid of this middleman. And it's just one middleman removal after another. And eventually you become, you know, friends with the top dog, or in my case, you end up being the you know, the top dog, but there have been many top dogs before me, and there will be many top dogs after me. But that's just the game. And then eventually you get ratted out, right? And then you get to go to the court system, and then you... It's just a nightmare. And then eventually you get sentenced to whatever it is that you might get sentenced to. And then you find you have some clarity in your life, right? You spend some time in jail, or you spend some time where I was in a work camp, and you find clarity and you get sobriety and you get some weight on you, and you eat some food and you start to, the dents start to pop out, and you're like, you know, I know for me, I was like, that's it. I've had enough. I'm done. Right. Because my audience at the time liked to hear that kind of stuff. They like to hear that I'm done. I won't be doing this anymore. We're very supportive of each other in jail, right? We're going to do this. We're going to do this right this time, you know? And then when I got out, I got high that day. It was just a big bunch of bullshit is what it was. And this guy, you know, I think he sort of had the same unfortunate problem, is that, you know, guys like him and I, we don't like when people decide when we get sober. And someone had decided for him, and someone had decided for me. And I don't think in the end neither case worked. And unfortunately, he, you know, was struggling, and some big things happened in his life. But, you know, he was constantly a victim, right? Because someone had done him wrong this way, and someone had done him wrong that way. And he never got better. You know, he never got better. And I think when I am a victim like that, when I am living... Because when I'm a victim, all that means is I'm just focusing everything on me, right? I have no energy to disperse it to other people. It's all about me and poor me. And it's just, it's a tough situation. And he was a victim. I think he'd come out expecting a relationship. I guess that relationship had ended, got into another relationship, all of a sudden had a baby, and just had all sorts of bad shit going on. And, you know, unfortunately, people like that, they posted on Instagram and social media, and, you know, I would see it, and I'd be like, oh, this is terrible. I wish you would just, like, you know, keep this private. But victims can't keep it private. Victims have to post it. Victims have to let the world know how fucking screwed over they are. And so it's like, it's hard not to watch. You see it, and you're like, oh, my God, what was, you know. But you work through it, right, I guess, and... I don't know. Honestly, I'd kind of lost touch with him, and now I just saw the obituary. I was at my in-laws the other night looking at the Cape Gazette, and it said, oh, so-and-so's gone. And I was like, wow. Shocking, not shocked, because he was a victim, and he was a victim of whether it was, you know, the state deciding he was going to get sober, if he was a victim of a relationship that he thought was going to happen when he got out, and for some reason it didn't. If he was a victim of meeting a new person and right away getting this person, or I don't know if he got her pregnant or if they decided to get pregnant. I don't, you know, he was a good guy. So this isn't bad mouthing him. This is shining a light on what happens to good guys like him, like me. You know, we come out, we are good guys, but we don't know anything about humility, and we don't know anything about sobriety. And, you know, unfortunately, got in that last relationship, had the baby, and then it didn't work out. And then all of a sudden it became a custody thing, and he was a victim. And it just, you know, it's hard to get better when you're a victim. And, you know, it's easy to point out where people like this make mistakes. It's easy to point out where situations like this, where I've made mistakes. And so I try to think of, you know, what would be... what is something that I or he could have done differently? And the problem is that, you know, I'll speak for myself, you know, when I came out of out of jail, I really thought I wanted to get sober. I didn't. I didn't have any idea. I just wanted people to hear it, right? Anytime you go to jail, it's always a constant plea to try to get out early, right? Trying to figure out ways to get out. So it's the bullshit that you spew out. Unfortunately, there wasn't an alternative path for me in this situation. I couldn't have done anything any different that would have made my life better. Unfortunately, I'm the guy that has to go through every single situation like that and lose everything that I did to get to a point where I can sort of start to hear the message, I guess.
he heard his first Beatles song. Love Me Do, I think it was, and from there it didn't take him long. Got himself a guitar, used to play every night. Now he's in a rock and roll outfit, and everything's alright. Don't you know? Big star someday, yeah. Mama came to the door with a teardrop in her eye. Johnny said, don't cry, Mama, smiled and waved goodbye.
He was a shooting star. It's a shame. I feel really bad, you know. And so we lose another good one. I've, you know, it's been the amount of people that I, first of all, I'm amazed I'm alive, to be honest with you. I'm really, all the shit that I've done and all the things that I've ingested. And I'm just amazed that not only am I alive, but I'm pretty healthy for the most part. I think I'm starting to get to the age where, you know, some of the problems in my life will probably start to show themselves. It'll probably be breathing, right? Because I did a lot of smoking of different shit, and it really abused my lungs. I went to a meeting the other night, and there was a lady sitting out front, and she was smoking, and she was just huffing and puffing, could not. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, this is real. And, you know, so whether it's going to be something like that or, you know, cancer, I don't know. I've, you know, between the drug life, the drinking life, and then working on a golf course, who knows what's coming my way. But I feel like, you know, I'm already having like challenges with my hands that keep getting dry and cracking. I'm like, God damn, I'm rotting away. Yeah, but listen, I don't want to have all these problems and be a victim to everything else. And, you know, so I think that to try to figure out an answer, what would have maybe helped my friend or what would have helped me early on, I don't know if there is. I think you can only hope that you don't die trying to fucking get sober. Because it is not. I know there's people out there that say, oh, yeah, it only took me one try, and I made it. I haven't had to have a drink ever since. Something wonder, you know, something weird about even having to say that, right? Are you pointing, are you shining light on yourself? I mean, is that important? You know, it's an interesting environment. You know, one of the things that always cracks me up is that, you know, when you come into a program, they always say, introduce yourself by your first name and just, you know, hey, my name is Tom, I'm an alcoholic. And for many reasons, they suggest that. Principles over personalities. The principles of this program are to keep it anonymous. Period. Keep it anonymous. But then you go to a meeting and this guy's like, yeah, my name is John Bellix. I am an alcoholic. I'm like, well, what did you say your last name for? Why? And it's ego. If you're a person, I'm going to say it. If you're a person that says your last name at a meeting when you introduce yourself, that's your ego. That's your pride, right? Somewhere inside of your head, you feel so special that you think people need to know your last name. And I've asked people, why do you say your last name? It's not, they suggest we keep it anonymous. Well, if someone needs to find me in a phone book, right, they need to know my last name, right? It's not what we're supposed to do. Principles over personalities. Principles says keep it anonymous. Don't say your last name. You'll find all this in recovery. And listen, we all have our moments, right? We all have our moments. You know, there's nowhere does it say we have to say our name and how much time we have, right? I personally think when you have a bunch of time, it almost makes it worse. I'm not saying to go drink or anything. I'm just saying we become a little more, you know, inflated, shoulders back a little more. You know, all of a sudden we're special with time. It's like everything says we get better, but every move of getting better seems to be slightly confused with almost getting worse, right? Because we're, or I am, a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. That means I don't have any humility, and I only think about myself. Whatever. Yeah, let's do a reading. Let's do a reading. Getting a little off topic here. I don't know why. Daily reflections. Where is it? This is one of those days I shouldn't do this podcast, but I started to, and I really want to do it, and all these things keep popping up saying no, but I don't want to quit. So here we go. A look backward, August 12th. First, we take a look backward and try to discover where we have been at fault. Next, we make vigorous attempts to repair the damage we have done. Yeah. It's what I just was just talking about. Accountability. Taking accountability. First, we take a look backward and try to discover where we have been at fault. Next, we make a vigorous attempt to repair the damage we have done. Yes. 12 steps, 12 traditions. You know, like I was saying, you know, it's really only one thing that we have to do in this program, and it's called surrender. You know, and you can't surrender unless you have humility. You can't surrender if you're a victim. To stop being a victim, you have to have honest surrender and take a hard look, like it says right there. First, we take a look backwards, meaning we go back. You know, like when I got punched in the face at that house, I was a victim of that for a long time. But now today, the person that's sober, maybe getting a little bit IV drip of humility, I look back and I say, I should have never even fucking been there in the first place, right? Never should have been in his house. Never should have been in the house. Never should have been using meth. I mean, a giant list of things that I should have not been doing that would have probably, any one of those probably would have kept me out of that situation. But for a long time, I was a victim. You know, the guy punched me in the face. Whatever. So that was 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 77. As a traveler on a fresh and exciting journey of recovery, I experienced a newfound peace of mind, and the horizon appeared clear and bright rather than obscure and dim. Reviewing my life to discover where I had been at fault seemed to be such an arduous and dangerous task. It was painful to pause and look backwards. I was afraid I might stumble. Couldn't I put the past out of my mind and just live in my new golden present? I realized that those in the past whom had harmed stood between me and my desire to continue my movement towards serenity. I had to ask for courage to face those persons from my life who still lived in my conscience, to recognize and deal with the guilt that their presence produced in me. I had to look at the damage I had done and become willing to make amends. Only then could my journey of the spirit resume. That's right. That is right. I had to become willing. You know, all these words are sort of, they mean the same, right? Willingness, surrender. You know, it's all humble, right? It's all the path of God, I think, or the path of good. And, you know, it's tough. You know, it is, it's slightly boring, right? There's no excitement. There's no fighting. There's no drama. You know, it's pretty funny. In our house, we're pretty drama-free. You know, the kids can create a little bit of drama, but for the most part, we're just pretty chill. We can just sit and watch TV or relax. We don't have to have constant conversation going on. We do chat, but it's weird. It's just very quiet and peaceful. It's crazy. But you know, you have to do all these things, or I had to do all these things at some point so that I could finally get sober. Listen, I'm running out of things to say. I'm just gonna wrap this one up, and we'll get back at it next week. Start doing some step stuff and maybe look around and see what else we can find. I hope everyone has a great day, and we'll catch you later. Bye. Don't you know? Don't you know that you are?
song. Watching the world go by, surprising it goes so fast. Johnny looked around him and said, well, I made the big time at last. Don't you know, don't you know.